Let's pray. Gracious Eternal Father in Heaven, we're so thankful for the privilege and opportunity of worshiping in Your house this day. Father, we come as Thy children to a family reunion to worship and to praise our Father who art in Heaven. Father, we're so thankful for both the privilege and the opportunity. We're thankful for these assembled and pray that You would bless them in a mighty way. Father, we recognize that there are others who will hear this message through electronic means, and we pray that they would be blessed, that Your Word might have free course in the hearts of Thy children. And Father, we remember those who are not able to assemble in Your house and pray that You would bless them and supply every need according to Thy riches and glory. Father, as this day we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray by Thy Holy Spirit that You would impress upon our hearts all that it means that He came into this sin-cursed world and lived in poverty, lived being cursed of men, being rejected of His own. And yet He was willing to die for our sins, Father, and take those sins to the grave and rise victorious over sin and death and even over hell itself. And Father, we're so thankful for all that He has done. And we pray that You would help us always to seek to walk worthy of the great privileges that we enjoy. I pray, Father, that You would bless me this day in the preaching of the Word. Bless each one of us that we might be doers of the Word and that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Thee, that we might be revived and rejoice in Thee. Forgive us our sins, we pray, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Call your attention this morning to the Old Testament book of Job, the 14th chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 15. Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. As you are aware, we have been basing our messages on questions that are posed in Scripture. And it seems like the last few weeks in the text that I've been led to, seems like we come across several different questions, but we've tried to center our thoughts on one particular question, and today we'll focus on this 14th verse. If a man die, shall he live again? And that Lord willing, will be the center of our thoughts today. We read in Job chapter 14, beginning at the first verse, that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeteth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is a hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Job, in that great suffering, had many questions, and he examined his situation, what he was, and his questions often came back to the point of, what are we here for? What is man's purpose? What's God doing with us? And he begins this passage saying, a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Now, let me go aside just to point out this fact, and I'm not going to go into it or try to figure out the meaning. But in this passage I've read, the word man appears several times, and there are three different Hebrew words that are translated man in this passage of Scripture. It refers to an individual man. It refers to mankind. One of the words means a mighty man. But it is all talking about the human condition. When he talks about a man born of a woman, it's true, that's not the gender specific. It's just talking about mankind. That's the truth of all of us. When he says that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And I think we have all come to the point that we realize how precious our days upon the earth are. You know, when I suppose that you were like myself when we were young, we thought we'd be here forever, and the time just goes on and on. And I can remember as a child and looking forward to Christmas or my birthday or some event, it seemed like it was just so far out in the future, and it seemed like time just dragged on. And now I look at our grandsons and I thank God that He's given us such fine young men. But I look at those young men and say, how could it be? I think my children ought to be still small. And, you know, I remember those days that we'd take them in our arms, and it seems like just yesterday. Where has the time gone? And he talks about that man comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And that, the brevity of life, is repeated so many times through Scripture. And man is compared to a flower that springs up and blooms and then it's gone. Or to the grass that springs up and it grows and then it's cut down and it just withers away. The words of James, in the book of James, in the 4th chapter, and another one of those questions, and Lord willing, one that we'll examine in time to come. But in James, the 4th chapter, and beginning at verse 13, James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And when James wrote, go to now, he simply means just stop and think about that. Go to this thought and consider. You say that I'm going to go, I'm going to spend a year, and I'm going to trade, and I'm going to make money. And then in verse 14, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Now, as I said, Lord willing, at some point, I hope to look at that question, what is your life? And so many times I've read that, and I thought that's just something to lead us to the next point. What indeed is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's just like a vapor. It's like the steam that rises up and then it's gone, or the fog in the morning and it burns out off as the sun rises and it's gone. And our life is like that. And as I said, I've come to the age where I'm so aware of how brief our life is. But I thought about Job's words, and I agree that a man that is born of a woman is of a few days. We don't have a lot of time here. And the idea is that we should make the most of the time that the Lord has given us. But then Job says, it's full of trouble. And my initial thought was, I've been blessed. I have known very few troubles in my life. And I thank God for that. And I see suffering of others around, and for whatever reason, it seems the Lord has spared me. But then I really stopped and meditated on this passage of Scripture. And I realized that my life and your life and every life upon this earth is full of trouble. You wake up every morning and you face trouble of some sort. They might be just little minor annoyances. Little things that trouble you. Or it may be some major trouble that you face every day. And Job was thinking about the sufferings of his body, the loss of his children and all of his possessions, and all the trouble that had beset him. And I think my troubles have been few compared to his. We have troubles, but we have a living Savior who walks with us through all our troubles. He has delivered us from so much, and He has carried us through so many troubles that we face in life. He has given me a good companion that has helped me along the way. He's given me a church family to encourage. So in all those troubles, they seem but nothing when they're over. But it's been full of trouble. But we have a living Savior. And that's what we celebrate today, a living Christ. I've mentioned already that He suffered and died for us, but He came forth out of the grave. And the significance of that, first of all, it is a testimony that God our Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Just like in the Old Testament law service, when that high priest went in to the Holy of Holies carrying that blood and he sprinkled it there on the mercy seat. When he came out, Israel knew that God accepted the sacrifice. So when Jesus came forth out of the grave, He came forth as our high priest who had offered His own blood into the true Holy of Holies before God Himself. And God was pleased with that sacrifice, and He came forth out of the grave. When Job was considering the brevity of life and how short man's time was, and then he started talking about a tree. You might think, what does that have anything to do with anything? Job thought about that tree and how it's cut down. Now, I don't want to go into a lecture on plants and trees and things of that nature, but there are some kind of trees, when you cut them down, they just die. Cut down a pine tree, and it's dead. But there are other trees, when you cut them down, and they spring up again and again. I can't remember now, several years ago, we cut down the last of the Bradford pears on our place. I know it's been at least 5 years. And constantly shoots are coming up from the roots of that thing. And I put Roundup on it, and I've done everything I can think of, and it's still trying to spring up. I can't get rid of it. So there are trees that you cut them down, they spring up again. But then Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, this is not a question where Job, I don't think he's seeking information. And I don't think he's doubting, wondering what's going to happen to me. But I think he's calling attention to a fact here. Trees cut down, it'll spring up again. And it springs up in the same place, in the same situations. It faces the same storms of life and all those other things. But if a man dies, does he come back again upon this earth? Is he like a tree and he just lives over and over again upon this earth? Like some of the false religions that believe in reincarnation, or they believe that the soul is is transferred from one to another and all those things. And Job says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. I'm going to change from this life into another life, something that is yet to come. I don't know how Job came to know the things that he knew. I don't know the specific details that he knew. But he knew of the resurrection because he knew a Redeemer. I looked at this not too long ago in the 19th chapter of Job, and it just thrills my soul to read the words that Job, I believe, exclaimed here. You know, in Scripture, oftentimes we can't get the tone of voice, but I believe this is just a joyful, exalted praise that came out of Job's mouth, even as he's suffering. In the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 23, Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know." Now, I want to emphasize the fact that Job's not guessing. And he's not wondering. He said, "I know something." And however he came to that fact, I know ultimately God revealed it to him. And God impressed that upon his soul. And he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Right now he's living. "And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Even though this body goes to the grave and it is destroyed and it goes back to the very dust of the earth, Job said, "I know that with these eyes I'm going to see my Redeemer." Because he's going to have a desire for the work of his hands. He's going to call forth this body out of the grave. There's going to be a resurrection. And that resurrection is based on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done. Because He is called in the Bible the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one of a crop that is yet to come. In the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, I want to read verses 12 through 21. Again, John chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. Now, I'm going to read several verses to get to one that I really want to emphasize, but I think it is important to get context, and I just love the Word of God, so I'm going to read it to you. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I'd love to stop and talk about that promise right there. And what it means to us, but I want you to hold on to it, and Lord willing, at another time we'll look at that. I know I've preached on it before, but it is one of the grandest promises you'll find in Scripture. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me." Now here it is. "Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." But Jesus says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We have spiritual life today because Jesus lives. We'll have life in heaven after a while because Jesus lives and because He is the first fruits of them that slept. In the 11th chapter of John, the very familiar account of the death of Lazarus, but I want to read just a portion of that beginning at verse 20. John chapter 11 and beginning at verse 20. Read the 20th verse and make a few comments, and I don't want to get sidetracked off of my subject, but Verse 20 says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house." Now, you're familiar with these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it just kind of dawned on me that Martha, the one who was always so busy with serving, she heard that Jesus was coming. She went out to meet him. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that is. We hear Jesus is coming, and we go out immediately to meet him. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we could seek him and seek his presence and seek fellowship with him? But then I got to wondering why Martha was so anxious to go and meet Jesus. And it appears that she wasn't going to worship or to praise. She's going to criticize Jesus. In effect, what she said, "It's your fault. If you had been here, our brother would not have died." It's a wonderful thing to go to Jesus as long as we go with the right attitude and the right motives. I'm afraid that was not the case here. But she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And she recognized that Jesus had power with the Father, but she didn't realize that Jesus has power within himself. So she was lacking in her knowledge of who Jesus truly was. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So, belief in Jesus Christ and the fact that he is the resurrection, I think that's what brought Job through all his sufferings. He knew that he had a living Redeemer, and he understood that he had life, something beyond this life. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Again, she confessed him as Christ. I don't think she really recognized all that that meant. But she knew something about the Savior. But he is the resurrection and the life. And because of his resurrection, do you realize that we have resurrection power living in us? In the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that brought Jesus forth out of the grave now lives in us. Look with me, if you will, in the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, in the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture because it is so rich and it is so important that we go to it again and again. But the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, he said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul says here is the most important thing. All that I've lost, that's nothing, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowships of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So Paul said, I'm conformed to his death, because when he died, I died with him. And when he rose, I rose with him. I'm conformable to that death. And he says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, I don't believe Paul is saying that I need to do something in order to have a relationship with Christ that I might be a part of the resurrection someday. that I may attain to all that the resurrection of Jesus Christ accomplished for me. That I may grasp the meaning of it, and I may live in the power of it. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So, let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to give you one more passage in closing. In the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read the first 9 verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And Peter identifies himself and those to whom he writes when he says, Peter, an apostle of Christ of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So Peter says that we've been begotten again unto a lively hope, that is a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I think about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus that morning of the resurrection. How disappointed they were. How dejected they must have felt. They said, we had hoped and we thought he would be the one. He's been dead for 3 days now. But Jesus opened their eyes. Jesus revealed himself. He gave them a new hope, a living hope. And it was something that stirred their souls and caused them to rejoice. And though, you know, they had walked a long way that day, and it was evening and it was nearing night, but when they recognized that they had been with Jesus, they were anxious to go tell their brethren. They were so joyful that they had to share. He had given them a lively hope, a living hope, because they had seen Him. And Peter talks about we who have not seen Him with eyes, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have come to a glorious time and a glorious place. And let me assure you, my beloved ones, we are a glorious people because the Holy Spirit lives within us with resurrection power. Don't ever forget that God has made us a holy people. And let's seek to live holy lives with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. I don't believe that salvation is simply referring to going to heaven after we die. I believe it is a salvation that is ours today, when we can recognize what Jesus Christ has done for us. And even though our days are few and full of trouble, even though we may come to suffering, I don't think we'll suffer as Job did, but we may have great sufferings in this life, and yet there's something more. Not like a tree that's cut down and springs back up to endure all those troubles again, but to finally be with our Lord and our Redeemer. Because He lives, we shall live also. Let us rejoice in that. Not this day only that we call Resurrection Day. My beloved ones, every day for a believer is Resurrection Day, because the living Savior lives in us. Let's rejoice and be glad in it, is my prayer for Christ's sake.